All right, we've been going through the Gospel of John, and from the very beginning, well, John went back to the very beginning, and he talked about how he didn't just start with Jesus as this man that came along and doing these miracles. He started going back all the way to the beginning and showed how there was, in the beginning, this Word that was with God, that was God, and how in the Word was life, and the life was the light of men. And so what his point was that this Word then became flesh and dwelt among us. It was manifested in the flesh. And Jesus was the one who came preaching a message, the Word of God, who has the Son of God, who is God. And he came preaching that message, and in that Word was life, and the life was the light of men. And so we've seen as we've gone through John that it's about this message that is full of grace and truth. And so people who were looking for light, who were looking to escape the darkness, who were looking for life, who were tired of living in death and condemnation, they saw this message that came, this message of light and of life. And that's something that they were looking for, and so they believed on that and embraced it. They were looking for that grace and truth. And it's that grace and truth in the Word, in the message, that they were believing in. But we saw other people who were content where they were, who didn't think of themselves as in darkness, as blind, who weren't looking to see something more, to have a fuller understanding of truth, who weren't looking at themselves as needing the grace of God to come to them. They were content to dwell in the darkness. They loved the darkness rather than the light. They loved man rather than God. And so we saw that even when they saw the miracles, they were only interested in what they could do for them in this life, not in the message that Christ was teaching of the grace and truth of God. And so they could not truly believe. But those that were looking to escape the darkness, that were looking to escape the death, they received a message, and they believed on a message of light, of life, of salvation, and of not only deliverance from the darkness and from the death, but from deliverance from the bondage to sin into the grace of God. And so we've seen a contrast between the people that are focused on earthly things and focused on the miracles and those that are looking for this message of truth. And it's this message of grace and truth that they are embracing. And what we're going to see in these final chapters is a slight change of focus. It's going to be the same thing, the same message, but as we approach the end of Jesus' life, Jesus is going to be he's trying to ensure that those that believe on him, he wants to remind them that they don't have full comprehension yet. They haven't received that grace and truth within themselves yet. They've not been made the children of light yet. He's spoken of how in the future they're going to have a fuller understanding, that if they continue in his word, then they will be his disciples indeed, and they'll know the truth, and the truth will set them free. How there's coming a time where they're going to be born again. So they're looking for something, a water of life that's going to spring up inside of themselves, and not just have to come to him, not just see him as the light of the world, but they will have a light within themselves. And so he's going to be pointing to this. His focus is going to be that message of grace and truth. Okay, you've heard the message of grace and truth, you've believed it, you've embraced it, well now, me, the light, is going to be snuffed out. And you need to continue in that message. You need to continue in the light so that you may become the children of light. Very soon, a time is going to come when you're going to receive the fruits of that, where what I'm about to do, you're going to finally receive that grace and truth. You're going to finally receive the life in yourself. You're going to be born as children of God. But you need to continue to believe and stick with me through this, because this is going to be a tough time here. And so those that truly believe, they're going to have to continue in his word, and then they will be his disciples indeed. Then they will know the full truth. Then they will be set free. Then they will become the children of God. Then they will be born again. They haven't received that yet. That's what they believed in. That's what they're looking for. That message has come to their heart, but it's not yet been fulfilled. And so now Jesus is going to fulfill it. And while this is happening, while he is being lifted up and then ascending to his Father, And they're waiting for him to send the Spirit. And so that they can receive all these things, they need to continue in his word. And so that's the message that is going to be central to these final chapters. It's that same message that they've been looking at, but now the focus is, it's coming time when you're going to receive it, so don't fall back now. Don't go back into Judaism, or don't say, well, I guess it was all, you know, didn't come to anything. It was all a mistake. They put Jesus to death, and stop believing. You've got to stick with it, and you will receive that message. It is going to come, so you've got to stick with this. And stay in the faith, keep believing until you receive that promise from the Father. And so we've seen how in the last two chapters, in chapter 11 and chapter 12, Jesus has been, in chapter 10 and 9 even, he's been doing some final things here, because they don't have a full understanding, a full comprehension yet. And so he's been pointing to how they're going to receive that, but in the meantime, there's some things that he wants them to understand better. And so we saw how in chapter 11 he went in and raised Lazarus from the dead to give them a better understanding, a fuller belief of how he is the resurrection and the life. And then last time in chapter 12, we saw Jesus preach his final message that he preached to all the believers at the feast there, just before the Passover, there in Jerusalem. And at that time we also saw how there was these Greeks that came, these Greek proselytes that came, and they said to Philip, "We want to see Jesus." And Jesus used that as an opportunity to point out that he's about to leave, this is the time he's going to be glorified, he's about to be lifted up. And so what they needed was not to see him. What they needed to do was to believe on him and follow him, because the time is now that he's going to be glorified, and then they're not going to see him. But if they continue and they follow him and continue to believe on him now while they do see him, because they're not going to see him, and if they need to stay believing on him, they need to continue believing until they receive what he's going to send them. So believe on the light while they have the light, that they might be the children of light. So that when he leaves, he's going to be out. They're not going to be able to see him as the light anymore. But if they believe on him now, then they're going to receive the light in themselves, so that when he is no longer here, they will not be in darkness just because he is not there, because the light will be in them. And yet, it said that many did not believe on him. Despite this message of light that he had declared, they still wouldn't believe on him. And so he asked, as Isaiah, quoting Isaiah the prophet, "Who hath believed our report?" He said, the arm of the Lord has been revealed here. They beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. They beheld his glory in the miracles and in this message of grace and truth that he delivered to them. And yet they didn't believe the report. Those that were in darkness were not willing to see. They could not see. They were blind, as Isaiah said. So they couldn't see through the miracles, and they would not hear the message, because the message wasn't what they wanted to hear. They didn't want a message of light from God. They didn't think that was necessary. But Jesus had one final thing he wanted to say to those who did believe. And so in John 12:44, he preached his final public message. Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come, a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." So he's come and he's delivered this message, this commandment, this eternal life. It's a message of truth and of grace and of life and of light. And if they have rejected it, he's not going to judge them at the last day. The word that he's spoken will judge them at the last day. Because if they've rejected that word, then they've rejected light, they've rejected life, they've rejected the Father, they've rejected grace and truth. They've loved darkness rather than light. But those that do believe, believe not on him, but on him that sent him. They've believed on the eternal life of God the Father. So that brings us to chapter 13, verse 1. Jesus is done speaking to the people, and now we're going to see him interacting with his disciples. John 13:1. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So he's known, and he's told them repeatedly that he's about to leave. He's about to depart out of this world unto the Father. And so, when you're about to go away, when you're about to leave some people that you love, well, what do? Well, you want to be with those that you love up to the very last moment. And so, that's what Jesus did. Knowing he was ready to depart out of the world, having loved his own which are in the world, he loved them unto the end. He was with them in his final moments. That's where he wanted to be. And so, what we're going to see is that Jesus' mind was on his disciples here in these last hours just before his crucifixion. And John records here more about him interacting with his disciples than anywhere else in any of the Gospels. We're going to have chapter after chapter of Jesus speaking to his disciples and helping them to get through this and try to understand what's about to happen and what they need to be believing in and what is coming for them. Verse 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. So John makes it very clear, as he tells us this, that Jesus knew where he was going. He had a complete knowledge of the work that he was about to do, and he knew that he was the Son of God, that he'd come from God, that he'd come from God, and that he was going to go back to God, to the Father, and that all things, all power, was in his hand. So, and he also knew how he was going to go. He knew that one of these men, that Judas Iscariot, was going to betray him. And it was in that knowledge of who he was, and what was about to happen here, that he takes on the form of a servant, and he begins to wash the disciples' feet. Knowing that he's about to return to glory, and knowing that one of them is a devil who's going to help to destroy him. Verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. So we've seen in Jesus' ministry that there's some things that they'll not understand yet. Some things that he said they would only know once he had been lifted up, and the promise had been sent by him from the Father. And so he tells Peter, that you'll understand this later, you won't understand it now. Verse 8, Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. He said, Well, you're not going to do it now, and you're not going to do it later either. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So Jesus tells Peter that he has this need to be washed by Christ. He has a need for Christ to, as a servant, do something for him, or else he has no part with him. Verse 9, Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but he is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. So just because he's physically washed them does not make them clean. He washed Judas here, but they were still not all clean. See, because what they really need is not a physical washing of their feet by Jesus. What they need is a spiritual washing. They don't have a need for him to wash their whole bodies. What they need is for him to do something for them that's going to bring them a spiritual washing and cleansing. One that will open their eyes, as it did for that blind man who was sent to the pool of Siloam to wash. Because they still don't know, but they will hereafter. If they continue in his word, they'll be washed and made clean. And so Judas, although his feet were washed by him, Judas wouldn't continue in his word. He wouldn't continue in life. He'd kill himself. He'd abide in death. But they would continue in Jesus' word, and they would be washed by him. And that would be the true washing, that they might receive sight, just as the blind man. And then they would understand. Then they would have part with him. Then they would be free. So he came to be a servant, to serve mankind, that they might be washed from their filthiness. And he who is not washed by him has no part in him. But he that is clean every whit. Verse 12. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So he's done this that to give them an example that likewise they should also serve one another. And he says, if they know these things, happy are they if they do them. If they don't do them, if they know them but don't do them, if they're like Judas, who heard the word but continued not in it, then they'll not be happy. They'll be damned. But those that hear and do the word, they'll be blessed. Verse 18. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. So he knew who would not do the word. He knew that one of them heard, but dissembled in his heart. But he knew that in the end, that one would still fulfill the word nonetheless. He would fulfill the scriptures that one of those that ate with bread with Christ would lift up his heel against him. And so we see that God's word gets done one way or the other. Either you hear it and do it and you're blessed, or you'll hear his voice in the grave saying, Come forth to everlasting destruction. And that word you will fulfill. But there's no need, because he died and was put in the grave that we might have eternal life. Yet Judas would not take heed. And so he that ate bread with him lifted up his heel against him. His feet were washed by Christ, but that didn't make him clean. He refused to seek the spiritual washing. He ate bread with Christ. He partook of the Lord's table. Yet that did him no good. He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Judas proved once and for all what happens to a man who trusts in that bread as a holy sacrament, rather than looking to the life from the Word of God, the true bread of life, in the spirit and not in the flesh. The bread that came down from heaven that he might give his life for the world, and that he might take it again. No man taketh it from him, whether Pharisee or priest. He laid it down of himself, and at the commandment of his Father only. And at the commandment of his Father, he took it again, having perfected forever them that are sanctified, having opened the door to salvation, and given forth his Spirit, that they might have the full knowledge of the riches and fullness of Christ, full of grace and truth, grace for grace. Verse 19. Now I tell you, before it come, that when it come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So again he tells them that they'll have a fuller belief when these things are come to pass. And again, that is only possible because he told them before, because they heard his word, that they might understand by his word that he did indeed lay it down of himself, that this is indeed a work of God, not something being done to him, but something he is doing for them. Verse 20. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that receiveth whomsoever I send receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So he said that they should do as he has done, that they should serve one another. And in like manner, those who receive them should treat them as him. They should do as he has done, and those that receive them should receive them as they've received him. Because they that receive them are receiving him. They are sent in his name, and they that receive him receive his Father, who sent him in his name. And so, just as he washed them, they will wash men, with the washing of water by the word. And those that receive their word receive his word. They receive him and the eternal life of God the Father. Verse 21. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. And there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, "He it is to whom I shall give the sop when I have dipped it." And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, "That thou doest, do quickly." Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, "Buy those things that we have need of against the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. So we see that Judas had the bag. He was part of this not for the spiritual blessings, but for the material. He loved mammon rather than God. He loved darkness rather than light. And so he went out into the night, leaving the light of the world. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." So this is the hour when the Son of Man is glorified, because this is when he does the work that declares him to be the Son of God. And so through that, God is glorified in him, because he, the Son of God, is doing the work of God in the name of the Father. This is a work that God is doing. And so now it becomes clear that he is the Lord, and that the Lord is gracious. And so now they will know. Now he is glorified. Verse 32. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. So just as God is glorified in him, so God will glorify him in himself. He's going to declare the work of God to God's glory, and God is going to declare him as the Son of God, one with the Father, to God's glory. He's going to be glorified as the Son in his death, and in the process, he's going to glorify the Father. And in response, the Father is going to glorify him further through raising him from the dead to the glory of both the Father and the Son. Because he'll then return to be reunited with him upon the throne, having accomplished the work, and so they'll be glorified together. Verse 33. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come, so now I say to you. So he's going to be glorified in the Father. He's returning to the eternal glory of God. As he told them before, they cannot follow him. Verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So in this, he'll be glorified in them, and they in him. Just as he is glorified in his Father, and his Father in him. If they do as he has done, and serve and love one another, they'll become participants in that. Verse 36. Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me." So they can't follow him now, but he said they can follow him afterwards. They don't know yet. They do not understand. They've not yet been washed and given sight. They must wait until after the Son of Man has been lifted up. But then, if they continue in his word, if they will love one another, then they'll glorify him, and he in them, and they will follow him afterwards. As they've glorified him, he will glorify them in himself, just as his Father glorified him in himself. And so they will follow him to that glory. Just as he has a work to fulfill, they have a work to fulfill that he is giving them. The same work that they have seen him do that he received of his Father. To serve and love one another. To wash men from their filthiness. To preach the word. And then, when they fulfilled the will of God, when they finish their work, preached the word that God will send, then they too will follow him to enter into glory. Just as he will do, having finished his work. That's the message that he's going to be giving them here. That they need to wait until they receive the Spirit and then follow in his footsteps and do as he has done. And that road will lead them to him. They will indeed follow him even to heaven and to glory. But they're not yet prepared to do that. They're not able to do that now. In this night, Peter will deny him thrice. The one who before most vocally confessed him. So they're still unprepared. They're not yet ready. Chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. So they're troubled at what he is saying, that he's about to leave, and his insistence that they're going to abandon him, that one of them is going to betray him and another one's going to deny him. But he tells them to not let their heart be troubled. Yes, this is a troubling time. Their mind may be troubled by it, but their heart should not be. Their heart should be settled. They believe in God, they should also believe in him. And so it's just that simple. If you believe in God, then believe in Christ. And if not, then don't believe in God. And since they have believed in God, then they should believe in him. Their heart shouldn't be troubled. They should continue to believe in him as they have believed in him. They should continue in his word. Not be troubled or moved by these things. That's why he's telling them before it comes to pass, that they might believe. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. So stick with him through this, because he's going to stick with them. He's leaving them in presence, not in heart. In flesh, but not in spirit. His heart is settled in his love for those that love his Father and keep his word. So let their hearts be settled also. Let them love his Father and keep his word. Because he isn't leaving them for good. He's going to prepare a place for them. They will follow him afterwards. In his Father's house, it's not just room for one. It isn't just for him. It's made that many servants may abide there forever, whom the Son will make free. There are many mansions, and he's going to prepare a place for them. So this isn't goodbye forever. This is just until they do follow him afterward. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he's going to leave, but one day he's going to come back and take them to be with him. He's going to prepare a place for them, so certainly he's going to return and bring them to be in that place, so that they can all be together. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Verse 4. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. So you know where I'm going to my Father. And you know how I'm going to be lifted up. I've told you many times. So don't be troubled. You know it all before it comes to pass. And you know how it's going to happen. And you know that in the end, we'll all be together forever. So don't be troubled. Verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He has explained this many, many times publicly. And he just said that he's about to be glorified. He's about to return to his Father. He's given them hints as to what that means, and yet still they don't understand it. Peter just asked him, whither goest thou? Why cannot I follow thee now? And Jesus said that he's going to prepare a place for them in his Father's house, and yet they still don't understand it. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? So he said that they know, they should, he's told them, but it appears they don't understand. It's as if they haven't been paying attention. But you see, their mind of flesh is still a mind of flesh, although it's seeking salvation and light. And so as Jesus told them, it'll only be after these things, when the Spirit comes, and they're born of the Spirit, that they will be as the wind that bloweth where it listeth, and can tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. Right now, they cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. They cannot tell where he goes. Only then, when they've been born of the Spirit, will they fully comprehend. Only then will they not just hear the word, hear the sound of it, but they'll be filled with it. They'll be of the word, they'll be of the Spirit, they'll be of the wind, and filled with the fullness of Christ, grace for grace. And so then they will fully comprehend and understand. Verse 6. Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So Thomas asked, he said, we don't know where you're going. How do we know how to get there? How do we know the way? So Jesus tells them the way. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So as to the Father he is going, he's made that clear. And he is the only way to get there. He is the truth that they must believe on, the life that they must receive, the only way for man to come unto the Father. Verse 7. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. So he is the way. It's only by knowing him that they can know the Father. And they have known him. And so they do have the way to the Father. They know him. They know the way. And so if they've known him, they should have known his Father also. And from henceforth he says they have known him and have seen him. Not known in past tense, but from henceforth they know the Father. A continuing knowledge that they're going to have of him because they have known the Son. They're going to receive a full and continuing knowledge of the Father. Verse 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. You remember how Jesus went and found Philip, and Philip just believed that Jesus was the Christ just because he said so. Without any special demonstration, not like Nathanael, without seeing anything. But now, Philip would kind of like to see something. He thinks that all they need is to see the Father, and that would suffice them. Enough talk about this, just show him to us. But you see, Philip is wrong. Seeing the Father will not suffice them. Seeing is not sufficient. And that's why Jesus said, from henceforth ye know him. They need to continue in the Word and receive the Spirit, and then they will know the Father. They've already seen him. That's not enough. Verse 9, Jesus saith unto them, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? So everyone that had looked on Christ had seen the Father, but that did not suffice them. Many saw and did not believe. But if they had known him, if they had known him as the Son of God, acknowledged that, they should have known his Father also. And so has Philip been so long time with him and yet not known him? He's known him and seen him. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Verse 10, Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So does he not now believe that the Son is in the Father, and the Father in the Son? Does he not believe that they dwell within each other? That they each encompass the other? So that he knows the fullness of the Father, and the Father fully knows the Son? So that they're perfectly in sync? So that the Son does nothing but what he seeth the Father do? So that the words that he speaks, he doesn't speak of himself, it's his Father that speaks the word? It's his Father that dwelleth in him, that he doeth the works? The Word is in the Father, and the Father speaks it. And then the Father is in the Son, the Word that goes out, and he does the work. Does he not believe this? Verse 11, Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. So believe what he is saying, believe me. Believe him when he says that he is in the Father, and the Father is in him. Or else, if he won't take his word for it, then believe him for the very work's sake. The works that the Father has done through him, they bear witness. They bear witness that the Father is in him. So they don't just have to take his word for it, they have seen the Father, who hath believed his report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. Verse 12, Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So just as the Father was in him, and worked through him, so those that believe will have the Father in them, and he will work through them also. And they will even do greater works than these that he has done, because he's going to be with his Father. He'll be in the world no more, but he'll be in them. And so it's through them that he will be glorified. And it's through them that he will glorify the Father in the Son. And so both the Son and the Father will be in them to glorify themselves through each other. Both being absent, but present in them and glorifying themselves in them. And so they will do even greater works than he has done. He's going to explain that to them. Verse 13. And whatsoever ye ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So they'll be doing these things in his name, to his glory, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And so what they ask in his name, he will do. Because he seeketh the glory of his Father, and it will glorify his Father, and so he will do it. Verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. So how will that happen, that whatever they ask, he will do? Well, it starts when they love him and keep his commandments. He's just given them a commandment to love and serve one another. And so if they love him, then let them also love one another and serve one another. Let them continue in his word, keep his commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. So they're troubled, and they don't want him to leave. But when he goes to the Father, he will ask him to give them another comforter. And he will abide with them forever. They won't be alone while he is away. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. So this is the key part of the whole thing. The unseen party, the third member of the Godhead that is invisible. The Spirit of truth. And so the world cannot receive him, because it cannot see him. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. And they won't hear, and they can't see him, and so they don't know him. They're in the lie, and he's the Spirit of truth. But they, his disciples, they know him, because he dwelleth with them and shall be in them. He dwelleth with them because he dwelleth in Jesus Christ. So much so that John saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and abide upon him. And so in the same way, the Spirit will abide in them. He will abide with them forever. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. So Jesus speaks to them as if he is the Spirit of truth himself. Just as he is in the Father and the Father in him, so he is in the Spirit and the Spirit in him. And he will not leave them comfortless, he will come to them. And so whatsoever they ask in his name, he will do. He will be there in them to hear them ask and to do it. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. So the world will see him no more, but they have seen and know him, and through him they've seen and known the Father. And so, though the world will not see him, they will continue to know him and his Father, because they have also known his Spirit, and that Spirit will continue to abide with them. It will come and dwell within them. A Spirit whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But they know him. And because he lives, because the Word lives, they will live also. He will live in them. And so their life will be his life. The life in the Word within them. Verse 20. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. And so that is the day. That is the day when they will know. There are many things that they don't comprehend yet, but then they will. Then they will know. They will know the Father. And they will know that he is in his Father, and they are in him, and he is in them. And so they will know that they will know the Father, because being in the Son, they with the Son are in the Father, and the Father in them. Through the Spirit being in them, they are in Christ, in the Son, and the Son is in them. Verse 21, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. So the world cannot see him, but he will manifest himself to those that his Father loves. Because those that his Father loves, he loves. And so he'll come and manifest himself to them. And his Father loves those that have his commandments, that have the Word, and keep it. That is what it is to love him, to have his Word and to keep it. And so those that continue in his word and in his commandment to love and serve one another, they are those to whom he will manifest himself. Those that continue in the word are those that will be his disciples indeed, and they shall know the truth, the spirit of truth, and the truth shall set them free. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? So boy, do they need it. I mean, it's easy to look back and say, boy, they were stupid, he just told them this. But we have the benefit of the Spirit of God. And there are people who are just as stupid today who cannot understand these things either, because they don't have the Spirit of truth. He will manifest himself only to those that love him and keep his commandments, and not unto the world. Only those that hear and believe and follow and keep will truly see and understand. And so, because they don't have him in them yet, they can't fully understand yet. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So that's what he just told them, isn't it? They don't seem to fully grasp that he and the Father are in the Spirit of truth. And so when the Spirit of truth is in them and abides in them, then he and the Father also abide in them and are made known and manifest to them. The whole Godhead will be within them and manifest to them. And so that is how they will know. Those that love him will know because they keep his word, and his Father loves those that keep his word, and he'll come and abide with them, his Spirit. Verse 24. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So those that don't keep his sayings, they don't love him. And the word isn't just his, it's his Father's. And so since they don't love the Father's word, the Father will not love them either. And so he and his Father will not come and make their abode with them, because with the world that don't keep the word. And so they will not know him. They'll not receive the Spirit. As he said, they cannot, for they cannot see him. And so they won't keep the word, they won't hear the sound thereof, and so they cannot know him. So that's how he'll manifest himself to them and not unto the world. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So he says, look, I know that you can't fully grasp it now, because there's more, much more. But I've told you this now, while I'm present with you, that you might believe and keep my word, and that therefore my Father might love you, and you might receive the Comforter that I'll send from him, the Holy Ghost, and he will tell you the rest. I'm just telling you enough to get you by so that you'll continue to believe, you'll believe and you'll stay in the word, and then you can receive the rest of it. So the Father will send the Holy Ghost in his name. And then he will teach them all things, and bring all things to their remembrance, whatsoever he said unto them. He'll teach them the additional things that they need to know. And he'll remind them of the things that Jesus has already told them. And so then in that day, they will know, and he'll be manifest to them. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So that's what he's been addressing this whole time. Their heart is troubled and afraid. But he's not going to leave them to trouble. He's told them these things that they might have peace, knowing what is coming. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. Not peace to their flesh, but to their heart. Let not their heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let them continue to believe, steadfastly knowing what is coming, and that even though they don't fully understand, they will fully understand. Verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. So he's told them that he's one with the Father. That he's in the Father, and the Father is in him. That if they've seen him, they've seen the Father. And yet, at the same time, he says that his Father is greater than him. It's his Father that dwelleth in him that doeth the works. It's his Father's word that he speaks. And so it's the Son that manifests the Father to the world. But it's the Father in him whose power is being manifested. It's the Father's will that is being done by the Father's commandment with the Father's power. And so in that sense, in that the Father is the head, the one who wills, who commands, who supplies the power, it's in that sense that the Father is greater than him. He's equal in knowledge to his Father. He fully knows the Father's will. And it's he who performs it, is filled with that full power of God. All things are given unto him. But his Father has given him all power in heaven and in earth. But his Father is greater than him in the sense that the Father and Son have a relationship within the Godhead that is similar to the relationship between any Son and Father. The Father is the head, he gives the direction, and the Son serves him and does his will, performs his will, and manifests his word. And so Jesus says that if they loved him, they'd rejoice because he is going to his Father. He's told them that's what he's doing. He's going to his Father, and then he's going to come again. And if they loved him, they'd rejoice, because his Father is greater than him. And so going to be with the Father is going to be with the one who is greater. The one who gave him these works. The one who gave him this word. And the one who will also give him again. Give him another word and another work. And so he will return. As he said before unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the heavens opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And so they would rejoice, they should rejoice that he's going to his Father, because after he's finished this work, returning to his Father to come again is returning to his Father to have an even greater word and work that he will return with. So they should be rejoicing in that. Verse 29. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. So he told them that he was leaving, and he's told them these things about him leaving, so that when he does, they will believe. It's a marvelous work that he's about to do here, but he doesn't expect that it will convince them. He expects them to believe based on his word that he's telling them now, because he's foretold them all things. Verse 30, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. So he's telling them these things now because he's not going to have much chance later. The prince of this world is coming and has nothing in him. Nothing. And so being the prince of this world, he'll cast Christ out of the world because he's not of the world. Verse 31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. But he will say and do those things that they may know that he loves the Father. And because it's the commandment that the Father has given him. Not because it's what the prince of this world wants, but because it's the commandment of his Father. No man, not even the prince of this world, taketh his life from him. He's laying it down of himself at his Father's commandment. And so that's what he's going to do. Rise up, let's go. It's my Father's commandment, and so now I'm going to go do it. It's the hour that the Son of Man should be glorified. And so we're going to stop there and pick up in chapter 15 next time. And in the next few chapters, we're basically going to see him say much the same thing. It's going to be the same message. It's going to be really interesting next time looking at him talking about the vine.
It's interesting that in John is the only one that recounts this, isn't it?
Yeah.
The only book that says anything where he says all of this stuff when on the way to the Garden of Gethsemane and all that Mount of Olives.
Yeah.
Oh. I guess because it's the book of Word, the Word. Mm-hmm. Basically, we're supposed to, the book of John is talking about believing his word. That's all that matters. Like you're saying, he didn't want them to really believe on what he was about to do. I mean, obviously, he needed to do that, but that's not the most important part. I mean, it's believing his word that he is the Son of God.
What you see in John is how his focus is not on, and what we've seen through really the whole book of John, his focus is not on, I'm coming to forgive your sins. It's, I'm coming to bring you into light, into life, out of sin, and into righteousness. You're going to be freed from sin. And so, when he's not focusing on that, okay, I'm going to die, and this is to pay for your sins and all this right now. Yeah, that he needed to do that and then go and send the Spirit, but the book of John is like, you need to believe the Word and receive the Spirit, and then you get all these It's about the grace of God, not just the mercy and forgiveness. And it's the grace that they were looking for. I mean, everybody wants to be forgiven from their sins and not have to do, you know, go to hell. But some people, you know, they don't, that doesn't mean they want to walk in righteousness. They just don't want their sins to count for anything. You know what I mean? This is about people who, they want light. They want life. They want freedom from sin. And that's what he was coming and teaching and promising. Those people that were looking from that, they're the one looking for that. That's what they're the ones that believed. And so that's, you know, what he's telling them, that they're going to receive that. What he's doing right now is preparation for that. But he's got to leave, and then that's going to come to them. Mm-hmm. And so they need to continue in his word until that happens, and not fall away.